Our sermon text for today comes from the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, starting in verse 14 through verse 30. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you know that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put the money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I think too often that we think this passage is about money. I really don't think this passage has a whole lot to do with money. Money is what's used as an illustration, but it's not about money. See, we have this idea that those who have more, whether it's money or abilities or material things, that somehow God has either blessed them or they're crooked. That's how we look at it. And we have this idea that if we could just figure this all out and everybody got blessed the same and those who are crooked were no longer crooked, then we'd all have the same thing. That's ridiculous. It doesn't work that way. There are people who have the ability to make money. There are people who, for them, making money is important, so they put a lot of effort into it. I'll never be one of those people. I'm okay with having enough money. But in my opinion, the more money you have, the more headaches you have. It's kind of like what us pastors say. Little church, little problems. Big church, big problems. It's all about what you do with what you've been given. That's what this passage is about. But we look at the person who was given the 5 talents and say, boy, they got blessed more than everybody else. Think about it this way. if each of those persons had been given, first of all, 5, 2, and 1, and they had lost it, who's going to get punished more? The one who lost 1 or the one who lost 5? So they're the one taking more risk. They're the one who has to worry more about that stuff. So it, in the long run, I think it all evens out. But what we need to learn is, from this parable, is what are you doing with what you've been given? Are you using all that you've been given for the work of God? Because if you're not, it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter how much you accumulate if you're not using what you have for the work of God. See, we as Christians like to look at other people and say, oh, that person has lots of money. That person in the church ought to support more things. In my time as a pastor, it's not a scientific experiment or a scientific fact, but it seems to me like those who have less are the ones who give more. That's just the way it seems. Now, there are people who have a lot who give to the church. But by far, those who give the most are those who don't have great means, but those who understand that everything that they have is a gift from God. Is the ability to take those things that they have, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's their actual gifts, whether it's music or mechanical ability or whatever it is, to use it for the good of God. Because that's what we're called to do. The church was never called to be an organization that got together and gave lots of money so that the church could get rich. In fact, we read in Revelation that the church that turns away from God in the end of the book of Revelation, the church that is not actually the church of God, but becomes the church of state, becomes extremely rich. They have more money than they know what to do with. They control all kinds of things. They have all kinds of power. They have all kinds of money, but they're not the church of God. Because they're not doing the things of God. All they're doing is collecting money and growing more wealthy and getting more powerful. And that's not the job of the church. The job of the church is to touch the people they come into contact with. Now, in some ways, I really feel, as I stand here and look in the back of the church and see all of that food, and know that every week you put that food into bags and give it out to children in the school system, kind of feel like I'm preaching to the choir. But in reality, the choir needs to hear it too. We need to understand that we need to work for God. As I look around the church and I see people who do all kinds of different things. Those who care for the building and the grounds. Those who work with warm and fuzzy. I don't even know what a zigzag looks like. And I'm pretty sure I would put a needle through my finger after watching my mom sew growing up. Not interested, sorry. But I am thankful for all of the people who do get together. Just as I'm thankful for when we have a meal that somebody else takes care of it, that the church is cleaned and cared for, that we have a wonderful new parking lot that looks brand new and it's in wonderful shape. For all of the people who give of their time and ability to the church, that's using what God has given you. And we need to continue to do that. Those who come to Bible study and share. Those who come to our business meetings and help take care of the business of the church. our IT gurus sitting in the back who make it possible for us to reach the world with his service. All of this is important to the church. Now you may say, well, I couldn't do what they do. Nobody asks you to do what they do, whoever they is. I'm not going to start playing the organ. I can play one song with one hand if I practice a little bit. One that I learned a long, long time ago. So unless you want to sing that one song three or four times a service for the rest of your lives, probably don't put me on the organ. But you have gifts and abilities. It's not a question if you have them. You have them. Because in this parable, we're told everybody was given this money, what does it say? According to their abilities. God's not going to ask you to do something you can't do. He's going to ask you to do something that he's already given you the ability to do. So if you're not doing anything, then you need to take a look at what is it that God has given me the ability to do? What is it that God has gifted me with that I can then give to the church? Because that's what this parable is about. What are we doing with what God has given us? If each of us uses the gifts and abilities that God has given us, and for some of us, that is money. People who have the ability to give and support the church are very important. Every single church I've ever been in, there's always been one person who's come up to me and said, Pastor, if there's somebody in need, just let me know. They don't ever tell anybody else, but they tell me. Because they see what God has gifted them with as an ability to serve other people. It's not about everybody knowing. It's not about everybody saying, oh, look at that person. They give so much. But each of us has the ability to give what we have to God. And we need to do it. Because that's how the church works. The church works when everybody does their part. No matter how big or how small it is. When we do with what God has given us, then God is blessed through our work. We are blessed through the work that we do. But we are called to be at work. Christianity is not something that happens in our head. It's something that happens in our hands, in our feet, in our mouths, in our minds. It's reaching out to people with the love of Jesus Christ. And that's done in many different ways. We do it in many, many different ways. What is it that God has called you to do? If you feel like there's something that God has called you to do and we as a church aren't doing it, let me know. Because then that's something that we can use for God. If God is calling you to do something, then it's something that he wants us to do. But let me clarify that just a little bit. If you come to me and say, Pastor, I think the church needs to do such and such. The first thing I'm going to say to you is there somebody in the church that agrees with you? Talk to the people in the church. If you find somebody in the church who agrees with you that you both think we need to do this, then come back to me and we'll talk about it. Because I don't believe that God ever plants a seed just in one heart and mind. Because that's how God lets us know what needs to go on. But when we follow those leadings, when we follow that work that God has placed before us, then the church is blessed with growth, with service, and people see the working of the church in their lives. What is it that God wants you to do? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Not what talent has God given me, because God has given you a talent. Don't think that he hasn't. What do I do with what God has given me? Maybe you're good at reading. I'm sure we can find a place for you up here. Maybe you're good at sewing. I know Ev will put you to work. Whatever it is, use your gift that God may be glorified, because when God is glorified, we are blessed. Amen.